Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hello. Steve's not here today. I'm Larry Sonnenberg. I'm sitting in for Steve, and I am blessed to be sitting between Dr. Sherry Keffer.
Hey, Larry. Good to see you.
And Chris Williams.
Yes, good to be here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
I told him he was the rose between the thorns.
Yeah. That's right.
And I said, I think it's the other way around. It's good to be here. We're looking forward to taking your calls. A little while ago, I was in a blessed position to do an interview. I interviewed Bart Millard of Mercy Me, you know, the movie I Can Only Imagine. And we want to help get the word out about their DVD, the movie's gone to DVD.
Oh, that's awesome.
He said the first week, 700,000 were purchased.
Wow. Well, and I say wow, but I believe it because the film is so well done.
Yeah, he said he's been hearing from people who never got to go to the movie, but who got the DVD and are watching it.
That's excellent.
And Carmen out here, our web gal, she said that she and her husband watched it the other night, and there at the end was still our phone number and such.
Yeah.
And our call center staff on devotions this morning said the calls are picking up again from the movie.
Yeah.
That there's that many people that have watched that movie. And so it's really something.
Well, and part of the unfortunate thing is that so many lives, so many of us stories include abusive pasts.
Mm-hmm.
And we stay stuck in the abuse. The abuse that we don't heal, we absolutely replicate. And so that's what New Life is here for, is to help people find the healing and redemption they need, just like was shown in the film.
And I wanted to also mention, usually the book, there's a book, and then they take the book to a movie. And the reverse has happened in this case. They did the movie, and Bart said, I'm the kind of guy, when I watch a movie that's based on true story, true life, I go to the internet after the movie's over, and I look everything up and see what was true and what else was there about the life.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did a memoir. It's a memoir by Bart Millard. And it's available, I'm sure, online. We might start carrying that. But it tells more of the story. It tells about more about his mom and more about his dad and the life. And, that movie portrayed when he was a little boy till, he was post-college.
Mm,
in an hour and 50 minutes.
Yeah, it's hard to fit it all in.
So I just wanted to encourage our audience to go out and if you haven't bought that movie, buy it and show it to your friends, your family. There's a lot of people that still haven't seen that movie, and it's a redemptive story. We've had people call us. I can remember two stories in particular. I know there have been a lot more, but there was one call that ended up in a salvation. Somebody came to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior from watching that movie and calling us.
Wow.
That's incredible.
And I remember one other movie or one other story where a man called and said, I was the father in that movie.
Oh my goodness, I was horrible
to my kids. And
wow.
That we provide help for calls like that.
Absolutely.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
And that's why our phone number is up, 1-800-HELP-FOR-ME. So we're going to come back and take your calls. I also want to just encourage folks, we are a nonprofit. We look for you to help us with a gift. And if you make a gift of any size, we will send you a book, and the book is a 100-day devotional that Steve Arterburn wrote called 100 Days of Prayer. We're a praying ministry. We believe in prayer. We also believe that you got to take some steps, and God will answer prayer through what you do, not just through prayer and expecting zap, things are going to happen. So hang in there with us. You can call 800-NEW-LIFE and make a gift. You can go online and make a gift. But it will help people find transformation. We'll be back right after this and take your calls.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opioid addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. I'm Larry Sonnenberg sitting in for Steve Arterburn with Dr. Sherry Keffer and Chris Williams. And we're going to go right to the phones. And let's talk to Lee in Atlanta, Georgia. She listens online. Lee, how can we help you today? Thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. First, I want to start off by saying I have a wonderful husband. We're very close, and we have a great marriage. But our issue is we haven't been sexually intimate for over 2 years, and my husband has a physical issue. He has ED, and he has gone to try to get treatment, Well, I've asked him to go, and he went, but it didn't really go anywhere from there. And I've tried to talk to him about it. I've tried to lovingly talk to him, and I've gotten frustrated to talk to him. And it just never really goes, and he either gets angry and closes down, or we just can't talk about it at all. So I'm just trying to get advice on how to approach him, maybe in a different way that I've tried, or some resources that can help me.
Yeah, Lee, Chris here. What have you guys explored? I mean, what roads have you gone down to really attack this problem or take it head on?
I think he's just so embarrassed by it that we just can't talk about it. I've asked him to go online because I have, and I've tried to find resources. I've tried to find out if there's other medications he could use or other kind of homeopathic things that he could do.
So you're doing the research and the work for him. Has he done anything?
I've asked him to, because I've told him that I have, and I've told him that because he said it's not me,
But hold on, Lee. So he hasn't done anything for himself as far as this issue goes. Is that correct?
Other than the one time that I asked him to go somewhere to a men's clinic, and he did.
Okay.
But then he just didn't want to go through what they were telling him he needed to do.
And is there, because you're calling New Life, and this is a very common occurrence, unfortunately, is he have any struggle with pornography or sexually acting out in his past or history or currently?
No.
Okay.
No. I know that for a fact. I've wondered that in the past. I've wondered if maybe there was somebody else involved that, you know, was taking his attention from me. No, we're so close. I mean, I know what he's doing all the time, and I can call him all the time, and he's just not that kind of a person. I know for a fact that's not an issue. So,
okay. Well, there is a lot of different factors that can impact anyone, but obviously males, on their ability to sexually perform. It could be depression. It could be unresolved trauma. But regardless, there's a lot to uncover here, a lot to explore and look at. But in the relationship, there that he is carrying a lot of shame around this issue. I mean, it is really embarrassing. It's, you know, and with that, it sort of cycles back on itself. So the more, the less that he can perform, the more that it creates anxiety in the bedroom. And the more that it creates anxiety, the less that he can perform. So it's just this hamster wheel that just spins round and round and round. And so it is important that you guys are able to talk about it. And the first, solving his problem for him is actually counterproductive. Helping him find a safe place to talk through it and express himself and talk about what's going on and talk about how he feels about it. Now, the unfortunate thing is that you can't make him do it, but even though it can be risky and trigger his shame, I think it's important that you have a safe place for you to be able to talk about how it affects you with him. And so you can come together, that you're on the same team going after this issue that's impacting your relationship, your marriage.
Lee, how old are you?
I'm in my 50s.
You're in your 50s. Is he in his 50s too?
He's a bit older.
Okay. So in his 60s maybe, or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So do you think it's kind of odd that he isn't more committed to try to figure this out?
Yes, that's one of the things that hurts so much. But I really do think that, as the other gentleman was just saying, he's so embarrassed. And not talking about it is just his easy way out. And whenever I do try to, and it's very rare that I do, he just shut down. He did try. He really did try when he went to that men's clinic.
I'm wondering what it would look like to have both of you sit down with a third party and try to tap into it. Try to tap into what's going on. Because really, I mean, if we just look at biology, right around that time in the 50s is when men and women both, right? We start to struggle with changes in hormones. And so it can be something that could be very easily rectified. Very easily rectified if he were willing. But what do you think, outside of shame, what do you think is stopping him? Because a lot of men who struggle with ED, they like to be involved in sex. I mean, it's hard for them to retire that. Men, I mean, I'm sitting with two of them right here.
Yes.
And they're highly sexual creatures.
We like sex.
Yeah.
No, that I'm is serious. True. Yes.
They are
sexual. I don't
sexual.
Want to speak for Larry, but I can definitely speak for myself on this one.
I'm with you.
So this idea that he's unwilling, that shame is the thing that's stopping him, feels, I think, a little, I'm going to use the word suspicious, because it just doesn't make sense. I see a lot of men have to face this, have to go in to talk to somebody.
Well, shame is a cover-up for something that's embarrassing. So that it tells us that something is not in the light. Something is hidden here.
Lee, what would he think if you told him that you called a radio show and asked for some advice, and you turned on that radio show online and let him listen to this discussion? How would he handle that?
He would be mortified.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I imagine. I know, Chris, you did a wonderful job of explaining ED, right? And this just started 2 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not something that was common. Right? You guys had a good sex life before then?
Oh, no.
Oh.
It's been about 5 years since things have been good.
Okay.
It's been dwindling. I'd say in the last 5 years, we might have had sex 4 or 5 times.
Okay.
But the last time was 2 years ago.
Okay. Well, I'm probably going to be the suspicious girl in the crowd, and I have to ask for forgiveness for that, because I work a lot in the world of sexual issues. And I think until you see a willingness for him to enter in to a conversation like a therapy office, right, with a third party or somebody who specializes. I would even say a sex therapist, somebody who specializes in sexual issues, so you're not chasing your tail. If he is unwilling to do that, then I have to tell you, I'm a little bit more suspicious that there might be something you don't know about. And I know that's hard to even consider. I'm not wanting to incriminate him because I want to be kind. This is, he's in the biology place where it could definitely be biology. But if somebody is unwilling to take that next step, pornography can be so easily hidden. You may know where he's at all times, but that doesn't mean that somebody can't look on their device. So again, I would say, you don't crash course, go there, see if he'll sit with a third party. But I say, don't be blind to maybe something that might be going on that you don't know about.
Yeah.
I appreciate all that. And I've been, you know, that has always been in the back of my mind, but I can guarantee you it's not. I can absolutely guarantee you it's not. He doesn't even know how to do those kinds of things. He had a family member that was way into pornography, and he was abhorred by it. And I can just guarantee you that's not an issue.
Absolutely guarantee. And Lee, one thing I want to encourage you is, as you're absolutely guaranteeing, let me just tell you, you can't absolutely guarantee somebody else's behavior. That's fundamentally impossible.
Okay. Well,
but I'm just saying that because we're not incriminating. But there's also something called sexual anorexia. And that is an intense, intense fear of physical intimacy. And it's sort of a mirroring of the, you know, sexual acting out. But it, regardless, we hear is that this is impacting intimacy in your relationship, your ability to feel close to your husband. And we hear it in your voice. What I want you to do in approaching this is not necessarily telling him how he needs to be fixed, but letting him know how you are being impacted by it and what you want. Your personal experience of this in the marriage is actually your greatest power and the greatest opportunity to break through to him.
How should she go about finding that third party, or should she ask him to find the third party? Chris's suggestion was
she probably needs to intervene right now because she's already told us that he's not willing to do anything. So it's probably going to be you that's going to make that first call, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe our team, Larry, we can help her find somebody who is a sex therapist in your area. We can at least let you know what our resources are. But, you know, I think that's your path.
Lee, thank you for calling. Book for Lee. What comes to your mind, Sherry? Chris?
I actually think How We Love.
Yeah, that's what,
because they're not taught. It's more than a sex issue. It's a communication issue.
Yeah.
Okay. Lee, we'll send you that book. We thank you for calling, and we'll be praying that things can change for you and for him. Okay, let's go talk to Tom in Austin, Texas. Hello, Tom. How can we help you today?
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call. So my question is, I'll just try to be brief and get to the question. I'll be 26 in July. It's been about a year since I graduated from college. I'm living with my parents, and I'm in recovery from moderate to severe OCD, probably closer to the severe, and I'm unemployed at the moment, but I hopefully to get at least a part-time job in the near future. But I'm doing a lot of things for that, but to get better. But my question really is about my relationship with my dad. I just have had a hard time connecting with him emotionally just over my childhood and kind of continues to the present day, and OCD didn't necessarily help with that, obviously. And I kind of have a childhood experience that really was kind of a microcosm of it. Basically, I was about five, and I just remember I felt like I had done something wrong, there were kind of tears in my eyes, and I remember I was in his lap, and he was trying to get me to respond, and I just totally, even at that young age, just chose to kind of escape and just go further and further into myself. And he actually had to call. He actually called 911 because he thought I was just being totally unresponsive to him. And so, So basically, I think that pattern has continued where I just kind of, I feel threatened by him. I feel not good enough at times, and then I escape. I escape into myself, and I just don't really have. And I think that's translated with other, my other relationships. I kind of have kind of the avoidant personality kind of profile. I've never really had kind of a very deep friendship with any other human being, and just on the emotional level. And I just have a hard time connecting emotionally certainly with my dad and with others. He's a really good person. He's like a paragon of virtue, honestly, but just emotionally, sometimes we don't relate. And so I'm just wondering, how do I do a better job connecting with him and just connecting with other people? Because I think that would probably aid also in my recovery, from OCD.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Tom, thank you for that question. We're going to go to a break here in a few seconds, and Sherry and Chris will have some suggestions for you and continue this right after the break. You're listening to New Life Live. If you can help us with a gift, any gift, we will send you a copy of 100 Days of Prayer, a daily devotional that Steve Arterburn wrote. And it will help New Life and continue to do what we do, bring you this program and the other outreaches we have. So we'll be right back and finish up with Tom.
I did come into the weekend with an expectation to sort out probably something that couldn't be fixed.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., July 20th to the 22nd.
There is a third person in our marriage, and it's not Jesus. It's a voice that is harsh, and it's put a wall between us.
Join Steve Arterburn.
I'm going to be talking about 7 different secrets from the Mediterranean. You do these, and they lead you to a life of passion and meaning and romance and deep, intimate connection.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We're going to be talking about the emotional, sexual, and relational journey that all couples go on over the course of a lifetime together.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
I really feel like we have somewhere to go and a future, and we have hope.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. Before we go back to Tom, one quick thing. I was reminded at a break that we are carrying that book, the memoirs book of Bart Millard, a memoir by Bart Millard. So if you want to buy that book, it's really insightful to the movie. Give us a call or go online and you can get that book.
Well, when they buy it through New Life, then it benefits the
absolutely
ministry. So, helps us keep the money in the family.
Also want to tell you folks who are listening and calling, we will be on 2 more hours right after this. So if you don't get in this hour, give us a call back.
Or stay on the line.
Continue to call.
Hang out with us.
Call us 2 hours from now. We'll still be here. So we just want to keep the calls coming. So, Chris, you had some thoughts for Tom.
Well, Tom, first off, I was just telling these guys, it's remarkable to me how much insight you have into what you're struggling with. And I think that that is a huge asset. You understand it very well, and you understand your process that you go into yourself. And you also know that that can feel like its own cave that you can't get out of, right? You go into yourself and then you can't see the light of day to get out, and you're trapped in that constructing your own anxious, fearful world. And you want so desperately someone to come into that world with you or take your hand and walk you out of that cave. I'm wondering, when you're talking about your dad, does your dad struggle with anxiety?
He doesn't as much struggle with anxiety, although he does tend to be fairly pretty hard on himself, kind of have the perfectionistic bent, and also he kind of sometimes has some negative kind of self-talk that he sometimes does. Like sometimes he'll just kind of randomly say, "Oh, I hate myself" and stuff like that, even though he doesn't. I don't understand why he would say that. But
what does your dad do for a living?
He's an attorney.
Okay. Yeah.
So, because what you're telling me before in your experience as a five-year-old, and right now, even right now, I want you to connect with that five-year-old boy. I want you to see him. I want you to see him sitting on his dad's lap, because in that moment when he is frozen, when that little boy is frozen in his anxiety, dad gets frozen in his anxiety as well. And I'm wondering if dad's shame, that, not that we know this, gets triggered. I'm like, I don't know how to help my boy. And he doesn't really know how to connect beyond his own anxiety, and so he tries to fix it. And again, this is not necessarily a problem that needs to be fixed. It's a fear that needs to be connected to. And you're right in seeking connection. How do I get this out? How do I talk with people? And before we go too far down the line with dad, I want to back up and say maybe dad can't be that person, not because he's bad or wrong, but because he hasn't done that work himself. He fundamentally may not know how to do that. And so I say that to manage your expectations with being able to connect with dad. It doesn't mean that you say that you can't say things like, "Dad, I want to connect with you more. I want to relate on a deeper level. I want to invite you into what my experiences are." And letting him know, you don't have to fix it, but I just want you to be able to see it and understand it more.
And you know what, Tom? You know what I can say with almost 100% assurance is that you and your dad both have genetically a part of the brain that's overactive. And that part of the brain is called a cingulate gyrus. So every attorney that I know, every doctor that I know, every nurse, every CPA, everybody that has that cingulate gyrus that's very active is in that career for a reason. And the OCD spectrum falls into that category. So those folks end up worrying. They can hold on to hurts from the past. They might get stuck on thoughts, stuck on behaviors. They can be oppositional, argumentative. Again, the OCD spectrum falls into that. Addictions can fall into that, road rage. There's a whole lot of things that are attached to that brain part. But I think what Chris was onto is the fact that both of you have that brain part. And yes, maybe yours on a scale from 1 to 10, maybe his is a 7 and yours is a 9. I mean, but seriously, I could see why that would make it a bit more challenging for you guys to feel each other, because they seem that seems to be more of a heady, heady part of the brain. Another thing I want to say to you is you are not your OCD.
That's good.
You are not your OCD. You have OCD, but you're a person. And I loved hearing how much insight you had about yourself. And I love the fact that you're open to grow. What do you think, Tom, would help you accept yourself? What do you think you need to be more accepting of you?
Well, I think it would be nice to have some kind of emotionally affirming relationships with other people, because I think there's kind of a hole in myself that has kind of missed out on that.
Yeah,
totally. You know what? I'm going to tell you a story, because I've got a woman who has given me permission to share. I saw her, and she had OCD to the point that it was debilitating. I actually met her through a New Life weekend. And you know what she did? She ended up going to a place called the Houston OCD program. And she was there for a couple months. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of her work, she connected with other people who also struggled with OCD. And you know what she discovered? She was okay, and she began to heal. She was a different person when she came back. So I want you to think about maybe going there and feeling loved by being accepted by other people. So we'll be right back.
Yep.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back, and we're talking with Tom. And Chris, you've got another comment before we move on.
Well, Tom, one last thing that I want to suggest that you do, and that is I want you to picture that five-year-old on your lap. And what would you do with him? And how would you connect with him? And sometimes it's not even words, but it's just holding and letting him know that there's an adult in the world that is going to take care of him and he's going to be okay. But in connecting here, as Sherry was saying, is that when your figuring out brain is overactive, your feeling out brain is underactive. And a lot of times there may not even be the language or the words to express exactly how you're feeling. And so this may sound strange, but I want to send you How We Love, because in there, Mylan and Kay talk about soul words, and they talk about patterns and what are we. And you already had mentioned an avoider. And so this actually will allow you to have different language to talk with your dad and connect with him. And I want to reiterate what Sherry said, is that anxiety at this level, at any level, is really stubborn. It doesn't go away easily. So use as many resources as you have. And Sherry, what was the name of that?
It's the Houston OCD program. They're
Sounds
fabulous.
Yeah.
And also, I think for you to go with your dad into some work together. I have another client that I worked with who, a male, and I had he and his dad come in and do some work together because they both kind of were not feeling each other.
Yeah.
And they needed some words to connect. And so I'd love to see you do that with your dad because your heart is so pure. It's in the right place. And I think you may need someone just to help you guys learn how to do that.
Yeah.
So
great.
How We Love, is that what we're sending them?
Yep, we are.
Be a great book for them.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Tom, for calling. Appreciate your call. Before we go on to our next call, I just want to encourage folks, Club New Life, we have projected that we need 6 new signups every day. It's $30 a month or more. It's a month in a giving program. You get as a thank you gift the entire Arterburn Wellness Series, and you get access to our Club New Life video library. It's an amazing thing. Both Chris and Sherry have contributed to that. There are most any topic you can think of, and every week we put in something new up. So I don't want to spend too much time and belabor this because we want to get back to the calls, but we need your support if we're to spend less time on radio talking about support. So thank you. You can call us at 800-NEW-LIFE or go online, newlife.com. Okay, let's talk to Daryl in Knoxville, Tennessee. Where is Daryl? Daryl, how are you doing? How can we help you today?
Doing great. How y'all doing, guys and girls?
Doing well. Better than
doing
we deserve.
Good.
Yeah.
Doing good.
Like I told the screener, I don't have a question. I just have a comment to make. I pastor a small church and been doing it for free, and I work full time. Wow. But I just wanted to let you guys know that I listen every day, and I appreciate your show. It helps me a lot when I have to talk with people. Of course, I don't give them the professional advice necessarily that you all do, but I just wanted to say that I appreciate y'all and I thank you. And I don't know how you do it day in and day out. It would drive me crazy. You're very blessed. You're very blessed, and you've got a calling, and we're praying for you always.
Oh,
that's all,
man.
I have to say.
Thank you, Tom or Daryl.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
awesome. I've said the same thing. I don't typically host the radio program, and the few times that I have for 3 hours at a crack, at the end of the third hour, I say to them, I don't know how you guys do this every day. I mean, listen to people's
right.
problems and come up with brilliant solutions and advice. So I'm right there with you.
Well, and Daryl,
unfortunately it's a never ending.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
I mean, people have problems, you know.
Yeah.
And you know what? You're on the front line, Daryl, and we really appreciate that you're there serving your congregation. And do you know how many people I have tell me that they listen to our show on a regular basis, and they actually become wiser counselors. And
yeah.
So I want more people to listen and actually take what they learn here and share it, you know? Wisdom
yeah.
is wisdom. Truth
right.
is truth. So I'm honored that you're taking what you're hearing and sharing it.
Daryl, is there a book that we have spoken of in, since you've listened to the radio a lot that you would like to have where we could send you? Would you like a Life Recovery Bible, or would you like
or something that you're really struggling with your congregation, something that you're seeing come up over and over again?
I tell you what, the Recovery Bible would be great because, unfortunately, in our area, there are a lot of there's just a lot of drug addiction in this area,
yeah,
and
yeah.
we deal with it all the time.
Okay,
wow.
It's coming
wow.
your way.
And I appreciate it.
Okay.
Well, and Daryl, can I give you a shout-out back? You are pastoring a church for free. I don't know very many jobs
people,
out
yeah.
there that are more difficult than
demanding.
Pastoring souls on a week-in and week-out basis, on a daily basis. And the humility that you show, the wisdom and humility you show by saying, hey, there's other resources out here like New Life Live that can help me be better, I just like my heart explodes because I just want to say, hey, this – Daryl's the real deal here. You know, Daryl's
yeah.
the guy I want to be when I grow up. You know? And so I want to honor you in that, honor your commitment to the people that God has called you to and to your growth. And again, I hope also that you take really, really good care of yourself, man.
Yeah, thank you, Daryl. Appreciate your call.
I appreciate that.
Okay. Just want to remind you, we will be here 2 more hours after this program. You can call us at 800-229-3000. And get some great advice from these
we
two.
Have so many men today
yeah.
calling
yeah.
in. Look at this.
Well, let's talk to Joe. Keep it going. Joe's on line 4. Hello, Joe. Listens on KRKS in Denver. It's your stomping grounds.
Yeah, my hometown.
Well, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. Appreciate you guys.
Sure. How can we help
appreciate
you?
Appreciate the last caller for sure. Wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
My question is, my son, or our son, had just come out saying he was homosexual within the last 2 weeks.
He's 15 years old, and we've sought counseling, and with him and us, as a mainly for him, mostly. What we're being taught and what I'm learning about as far as their feelings and all this is you have to accept them where they're at. So I have to accept him that he believes he's a homosexual. So that the question I have, I wasn't prepared for this, of course, as a father. I was prepared for the girl thing. So my question is, as far as boundaries go now, as far as like he wants to follow homosexual bloggers, maybe read homosexual books, and actually go that way. And my question is, maybe you could help me on where do I set those boundaries on what's appropriate and what's inappropriate.
First off, I am so sorry, Joe, about how devastating this is to hear for you and your wife. And I am personally devastated by what is happening in our culture and how things are changing so quickly for our children. It's heartbreaking to me because sexuality now has become somewhat of a vending machine for kids. Yeah. And they're being taught that gender is an option and they can pick, and it becomes very confusing. And I think we're going to see more and more young people making choices because it's being taught. And even here in Orange County now, there is a law. there's something put in place now that you cannot not have your child attend LGBT training in the schools. So it's getting thicker and darker. Crazy. So I just first off want to acknowledge your pain and your hurt and your confusion and your loss, because it is big. It feels like our children are being kind of sucked into this sexual vending machine of sorts, and they're so young, right? So,
well, a little bit to his credit, I mean, he always has wavered on the feminine side ever since he was a little boy. You know, I mean, and it wasn't a complete shock to me, to be honest. It hurt, and of course, for a long time, I spent a lot of time with him, just, you know, hoping that maybe somehow I could work it out of him. And I probably did that.
Joe, we gotta go to a Joe. We have to go to a break, but we'll be right back and can continue with you. Hold on.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror.
matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours could change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We are talking with Joe, and his son recently revealed to Joe and his wife that he's gay, and Joe's having a little struggle dealing with that. So, Chris, you had some thoughts?
Yeah, there's actually something that I believe is very encouraging in this story, and that is, Joe, it sounds like you and your son are able to talk about it, that you're able to get it out into the open. And is that correct?
Well, it is to an extent. It's better. The way I found out was not good because his behavior had changed dramatically.
Yeah.
And mainly with his phone. And I wanted to see his phone, and he wouldn't let me see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was forcing myself to get it. And my wife grabbed him and took off. Because I was I needed to know.
Yeah.
What was going on. What he was looking at, whether it's pornography or what he was getting himself into. And he revealed to her that that he is gay, and he's been looking at males online.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that part of it, and over those years we've spent together, now that I look back, he was constantly picking my brain about, like, a certain friend he had, he said was gay. Yeah. How do you feel about that? And he was always, and now I look back, and it turns out that he's probably more talking about himself than his friend.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And I probably didn't answer those questions correctly and maybe sounded more anti-homosexual.
Well,
which, as a Christian, I am. I don't believe it's right.
Well,
I know they're there, and I know they have theirs. But, you know, I feel like he feels safe. And that's the way it all happened. So at any rate, I feel like now, you know, I've told him I've accepted for who he is, and that we'll work together. So I think at this point we're better than we were.
Yeah. Well, and I think that in getting a little bit about that background, there's always going to be this divide based on a difference.
Right.
And the divide isn't necessarily needing to be relational. It's a divide of opinion or belief and conviction.
Okay.
And you can empathize and understand somebody without having to agree with them. And
right.
And so as you're traveling this road, yes, you're going there with him. You're allowing him to have more open conversations with you. That you do not have to compromise your convictions in that process. And
okay.
I just want you to know that those two things can coexist, your convictions
okay.
and your connection to your son. But I also want to make
okay.
this crystal clear. Sexually dangerous behavior is sexually dangerous behavior regardless of gender, regardless
right.
of identity. And so having restrictions around access to pornography, access to chat
right.
rooms, access to, again, sexually dangerous behavior, as long as he's in your house, is not only appropriate, it's actually necessary in today's world. And so,
okay.
you know, it may not be like, I can't, you know, there's nothing I can do as far as turning him from homosexuality to heterosexuality, but there is absolutely something I can do about setting limits and
okay.
protective measures into accessing sexually okay. dangerous behavior material.
So
okay.
maybe
okay.
like a book like Every Young Man's Battle might be good for him to sit down with his
yeah.
son and
okay.
just talk about sexuality, right?
Mm-hmm.
What does
right.
healthy sexuality look like? What does integrity look like?
Yeah.
Right.
How do I
right.
begin to think about myself
okay.
in a way that I'm respecting my sexuality and not just giving it away,
yeah.
not
okay.
just sexually acting out And
okay.
Yeah.
What's your son's spiritual life? Would he say he's a Christian?
He's a believer. He says.
Good.
He's a great kid.
We believe you.
Yeah.
We believe you.
For me, when I was a kid, in fact, I'll tell you something. His insight, really, R.C. Sproul had said something. Why do bad things happen to, you know, why do bad things happen to good people?
Mm-hmm.
And R.C. Sproul said, I've only known one person that's happened to, and he volunteered. And immediately my son said, Jesus.
Mm, yeah.
So, which gives you some insight, but he did, in the meantime, through this whole process, he had been reading some false gospel preachers online.
Mm.
Some kids that were, or young ones that were, that are homosexual, and they've perverted basically the Bible into saying that homosexual wasn't really a sin and Jesus didn't talk. You know, that whole argument they got going now. So we did talk about that, and one of the guys' names was Matthew Vine, so I did pull him back from him and say, Cameron, you know, read Romans 1. You know, he's really got that messed up as far as, and stuff like that. So,
but you may not
say spiritually he believes in Jesus, but he can't fight his feelings of his feelings for a male.
Yeah,
he can't. He told me when we were driving in the car. He goes, I do not find women attractive. He goes, I cannot envision myself being married to a woman or ever being with a woman. He goes, I can't.
But principles like integrity. Principles like monogamy are things that you guys can talk about. Yeah, and celibacy. Those are things you can talk about.
Finding the common ground. Yeah.
So,
Joe, I want to thank you for your call, and I want to reiterate something that Chris said, maybe in a little different way, but folks who present their homosexuality look for tolerance and look for everybody to accept. And they need to understand that the reciprocal is true, too. They need to understand you, and they need to understand why you believe what you believe. And you don't need to surrender that in any way, shape, or form by accepting your son. But just want to thank you for your call. We'll send, what do we say we were going to send?
Every Young Man's Battle.
Yeah, we'll send that to you. And you know, Larry, I did a show on New Life TV called Grace, Mercy, Truth, and Love. And you know why I did that show? Because I was working with a couple whose daughter exposed to them that she was gay.
Mm-hmm.
And so in thinking through those principles and how to be Jesus in the midst of this, so if anybody is listening and wants to watch that show, I think it would be really great to just take in principles of how do we love.
Thank you. I want to close with a verse of Scripture, and I think this is appropriate to what we were just talking about, from 1 Peter, starting at verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, Be holy. Because I am holy. You know, our standards are so often what the other guy's doing, or I'm better than this person, or I'm not as bad as this person, or oops, I slipped, I'm a sinner. But God's call to us is to be holy, and the standard of that holiness is Jesus. So it's our prayer that you'll consider that you will remember that we love you here at New Life, that what we do is in an effort to try to encourage you to find the life and the hope and the transformation that God has for you. He can redeem any and every situation you've ever thought of. We've seen redemptive stories that we never could have imagined ourselves, and that's what we're here for. So if that's something you could support, we appreciate that you would help us. But stay tuned, and if you're on hold, we will get to your call next hour. Call us at 800-229-3000. We'll be here two more hours. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life.
We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.